Hey everybody, this is Doug Robertson of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution with another edition of the award-eligible and your favorite podcast, Southern Fried Soccer. It is April 28th, and last night in beautiful Chicago at Soldier Field, Atlanta United and Chicago played to a middling 0-0 draw. It was a mostly awful game for reasons that we're going to go into in just a little bit, but it brought Atlanta United's record to a either deeply unsatisfying 3-3-3 or a very illuminating 3-3-3, depending upon which side of that fence you want to sit on. But I'm going to have a story about that a little bit later. If you go to ajc.com, you'll see my game story from last night. Pretty soon you're going to see a feature on Efren Morales, who made his first team debut. A kid who's been with the club since he was 11 years old, who signed when he was 16, he's now 20, made his debut and played very well for the Five Stripes last night. You're going to hear from him. You're going to hear from Gonzalo Pineda. You're going to hear from Dax McCarty. And I'm going to get into a lot of your questions, which have a bit of a theme, which I think is understandable, but I'm hoping I can talk y'all off the ledge in some cases. If this is your first time listening to us, please make sure to follow the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so that you never miss an episode. This is Southern Fried Soccer from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Ocean breeze, tropical beach, piña colada. You can buy an air freshener to make your car smell like you're in an oceanside paradise. Or, better yet, you can point your car toward Daytona Beach and come experience the real thing. Visit DaytonaBeach.com to discover all there is to see, do, and enjoy along the world's most famous beach. Daytona Beach, Florida. Beach on.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
So I said that this game was middling. It was difficult to watch. Chicago didn't really seem to want to play. The Fire had been shut out in their previous two matches, lost the most recent one 4-0. They kind of put 9 to 10 guys behind the ball most of the time, let Atlanta United have the wide spaces. It was tough. The stats kind of bear that out. Atlanta United finished with 64% of the possession as the away team, took 18 shots, put 5 on goal, but finished with an expected goals of 1.21. The best chances were Daniel Rios' header at the back post, which was expertly saved by Brady. Efren Morales had a diving header in stoppage time that went just wide, and Almada hit the bar. Chicago took 10 shots, put 0 on goal, yet still had an expected goals total of 1.00, which is another one of my many issues with that silly, silly stat. But anyway, I asked Gonzalo Pineda what made this game so hard.
I would say that Chicago is not an easy game at all. They are always combative. They were really good in the tactics. They were very solid defensively. They didn't play wingers per se. They played more outside midfielders, hard workers. So it was really difficult to penetrate at some point, but then when we got in good areas, they were having a lot of numbers inside the box, so it was difficult to connect a few chances that we had from the premises zones to really, really connect, and at times the passes, the crosses were too far on the far post, especially the first half. The chance from Tyler that he gets in behind the back line and then he crosses with the left foot, I think he could have connected with Gigi, but we're lacking a little bit of that precision in the final third. And then in the second half, I felt that, I don't know, you have better stats than me, but 7-0, the high value chances, some of them really, really clear, but we couldn't finalize. So that's the game, right? But I think it was a progression, a better game management, better build up, good possession, final third movements, but we couldn't finish. So that's why we didn't get the 3 points.
Now, the good news for Atlanta United in this match is they did get Yurgos Chakamakis back. Steen Gregerson was on the game day roster, though he was not needed. The bad news for Atlanta United is Yakimakis didn't really do anything, couldn't get involved in the game, couldn't really do anything when he came off the bench last time. He may still be dealing with a bone bruise. Team may still be dealing with how to play with him after missing him for a couple of games. The bright spots were Cobb. Well, not Cobb. Cobb had to, was a late scratch because of illness, but Morales. And here's Pineda talking about that.
Well, Noah trained normal the whole week. He was normal. We were expecting him to start this game. And then last night, middle of the night, he started to feel bad, started not to feel well. So he couldn't sleep a lot. And then throughout the day, he wasn't feeling right. So we probably, I took the decision for him because he didn't look good. So the kid wanted to play actually, or try at least, but I made the decision because he didn't look fine. So I want to play conservative. And the other thing is, again, I told you this before, like Efra was doing a great job this year. Mm-hmm. He was in preseason, he was very good. And then in some of the tools games, he's been also very good. So we had confidence that he could have had a good game, his first game. And I think he did pretty, pretty well. Of course, he could have the goal winning at the end, right. and that could have been a story. He had another header in the first half, mm-hmm. I think. But defensively, which is the main responsibility, I think he did very well against very good number nine, Kupres. I think he's a very good number nine, and he did amazing. So happy for him, and sad for the team that we couldn't get the 3 points.
As I mentioned in the first segment, Atlanta United is 3-3-3. It's had its starting lineup, its preferred starting lineup. That's Guzan, Gregerson, Williams, Wiley, Lennon, Slice, Muyamba, Almada, Silva, Lopchenitze, and Yakimakis. In the same lineup, just three times this season. It happened in the season's first three matches. Atlanta United went 2-1-0 in those matches, scored 6 goals and allowed 2. But I wanted to know from Pineda, what is this team capable of?
I think once we start to have some consistency in the players available, I think then we can start to look. I think so far there's been so many things happening in the first 9 games that it's really difficult to even evaluate ourselves, because the first game was one, and then the second game, you know, we had a couple different options. And then, I mean, the first game away, we start to have 7 players out, plus Stian out, international duties, and then we start to have 5 starting calibers players outside for multiple games, including this one because we had Noah. So it hasn't been easy in the last couple of weeks to have some consistency in that line. But I think the performances have been very good. If you analyze the performance, aside from the results, and we live and die by the results, right? But if you analyze game against Philadelphia, very difficult team, you know, it's one of the top teams in the last couple years, and I think we were much better than them in the game, and we should have won that one. We know the accidents that happened in there, couldn't finalize with the 3 points. The last game against Cincinnati, I think, was a more even game, but we played really good at times, and I felt that even though it was an even game, we started winning and we couldn't consolidate. And today, against a very difficult team, defensive and 4-4-2, I think we were much better than them. So I think the performances, even though we have some absences, hasn't dropped dramatically. So I think once we have again everyone and we have a lot of quality again, I think maybe we can start to get better results. But the performance has been good.
Morales was next up. Big night for him. Good night for him. Played really, really well. He and Noah Cobb, I wrote back in the preseason down in Florida, are kind of the future center backs of this team. And they've both shown in their appearances so far this season that they're going to be able to handle the job. Here's Morales talking about his first appearance.
When did you find out you were going to start?
Probably like 3 hours before the game, just right before a team meeting.
Was that enough time to get nervous, or was that so close you couldn't get nervous?
Honestly, that's what I've been telling these guys. I honestly think it kind of helped me because it didn't give me time to be nervous, which I think if they had been told a little bit earlier, might have been different.
How do you think you performed?
I think it was all right. I think it was a pretty solid first performance. Obviously, to not get the 3 points is not ideal, but obviously keeping a clean sheet is always a good thing. But always room to improve.
Can you remember any of it right now, or is it still just a little too fresh?
I can only remember the missed header at the end of the game.
I was going to ask you about.
Yeah, so that's
how close do you think you came?
Pretty close. I mean, I'm not sure if they might have called it a foul anyways because I kind of jumped over the guy, but definitely would have been nice.
This has been a long journey for you. You know, you've been a homegrown for many, many years. This was kind of the first preseason you really got to work with the first team in full because of injuries and things. How does this feel tonight to get that first start?
Yeah, honestly, I guess it's pretty cliche to say, but it feels pretty surreal. Obviously, having been here since I was 11, and obviously having been signed since I was 16, you would have expected, you know, I would already have 60 appearances like Caleb Wiley, but obviously people have different paths, and I'm just happy to help the team however it is.
Now, interestingly, while Morales made his first appearance, Dax McCarty came off the bench and made his 500th in a regular season or playoff match, which is a heck of an achievement, a heck of an accomplishment for him. Here's McCarty talking about that 500th appearance.
Just 500th appearance tonight. Is it a little surreal doing it here?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, I didn't know that before going in, and Gonzalo told me that right before I subbed in, and so
give me something to think about.
Yeah, I was trying to focus on set pieces, and you know, haven't gotten a game in a while, and I'm thinking, wow, it's a pretty cool accomplishment, but you don't really get to enjoy it, you know, until obviously after, and then not winning is frustrating, and especially when I felt like we probably could have taken 3 points tonight, but yeah, special moment, and definitely cool to have it happen at a former club, a club where I think I made my 300th appearance in MLS for the Fire. I still remember they gave me a jersey. It's at San Jose, and so I'll remember this one for sure. 500 at Chicago at Soldier Field is a cool one.
Did y'all win that one, the 300?
Yes, we did.
There you go.
Yes.
I wanted to know from Dax what he thinks this team is capable of, and as always, his answer was very insightful.
I think we're capable of being one of the best teams in the league, but I don't think we've shown that yet.
Okay.
And I think that comes down to the consistency of our performances. I think we're too inconsistent right now, and that's the reason why our record is what it is. I think that when we get leads, we should be able to see the game out. I think that sometimes we're a little naive in the way that that we play. Mm-hmm. I thought tonight was a step in the right direction in terms of resiliency, in terms of playing a team that is fighting for their lives as well. They have a lot of injuries, a little bit of turmoil. And I don't care what anyone says. I don't care that they lost 4-0 their last game. There is not such thing as an easy game in MLS. And so we knew that was going to be the case tonight, was that it was going to be a fight. And I think it's disappointing not to come away with 3 points, because I think the performance was good enough to warrant it, created enough chances. Their goalkeeper was fantastic. Chris Brady made some absolutely phenomenal saves. And, you know, we can finish a little bit better as well. And make sure that we're a little sharper in front of goals. So, more positives to take out of tonight. But, I think we're winless in three now. And, we need to start winning games. I mean, this team is capable of a lot more.
And here's McCarty talking about what is holding this team back.
I think everyone in MLS has to deal with injuries at some point or absences at some point. So, I think injuries can be an excuse to a certain extent, and I don't want to make an excuse, because I think the depth on this team is good enough to continue to win games when need be. And so right now the reality is I'm part of that depth, and so whenever I get a chance, when guys are injured or guys are missing, I need to step on the field and I need to do the job, and I need to play better, and I need to make sure that I'm helping the team win games. And so I don't think injuries are an excuse. I think continuity maybe is probably a better way to describe it. When you don't start the same lineup game after game after game, I think it is hard to get that continuity in those connections, especially with a couple new players that we've brought in. via trades, via free agency, via European signings. So, yes, 9 games in, I think we're starting to see some patterns that are really positive. I think defensively we're a lot better than we were last year, but mm-hmm. we still have a ways to go mm-hmm. in terms of tightening things up. And I just want to end this by saying that Efrain Morales was the man of the match for me tonight. Absolutely fantastic performance from him, a kid who has been at this club for a long time and a kid who probably didn't expect to get an opportunity tonight and got an opportunity tonight, and he grabbed it with both hands and was fantastic. And when young players step in tough environments and have performances like they did tonight, that should make everyone at this club very proud.
All right. Thanks, Dex.
All right, when we come back, we're going to get into the mailbag. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at Doug Robertson AJC and on Facebook at Atlanta United News Now. I hope you'll do so. I hope you'll tell your friends to do so. I think I provide the best coverage of Atlanta United, the most consistent coverage of Atlanta United of any outlet. This is Southern Fried Soccer from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Ocean breeze, tropical beach. An air freshener can make your car smell like paradise. A drive to Daytona Beach will actually get you there. Beach on. Plan your trip today at DaytonaBeach.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, and the Atlanta Journal-Constitution has a special offer for our Southern Fried Soccer listeners. For a limited time, you pay $1.25 a week, and you can get the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. You can get everything that we do, from all of your Atlanta United coverage, to the Braves, to the Bulldogs, to the Hawks, to the Yellow Jackets, to the Falcons, to Georgia State, to Kennesaw State, to your local politics, your culture, your local news, news around the state, news around the South. It's at ajc.com/BSP. That's ajc.com/BSP. All right, we're going to get to the audio. We're going to start with a voicemail.
Hey, Doug. Mark from Rome. What I saw tonight was the collective making bad decisions over and over again. Who should be held responsible for that?
It was almost, well, I guess it was bad decisions. You're right in that descriptive. But it was players trying to be too cute, I thought, sometimes in the final third. There was a moment toward the end when Almada played a 1-2 and could have gotten into the box and taken a shot, but instead he played a blind back heel to someone behind him for reasons I do not know, and the attack fizzled. And I'm not putting all this on Almada. There were players all over the field kind of doing those blind passes last night. They were just getting to the final third, getting to the final 20 yards, and just the chemistry was not there last night. But I think you wanted me to say Pineda, but we're going to get into that in just a little bit. Lance says, in the past, the club made it a point to quickly pull the plug on both Frank de Boer and Gabriel Heinze. What has changed? This boring, uninspired soccer is painful to watch. Well, okay, you need to kind of get your context correct. Heinze was, well, just to be blunt, was violating the CBA with practice habits for the players, was draconian in his coaching techniques. He had to go, or the club could risk getting into a lot of trouble. And he was just a jerk, to be blunt. If you remember, De Boer's first year, the team won 2 trophies and was a save penalty away from getting to host MLS Cup again. Then the team unloaded because of salaries, because it's a salary cap league, a lot of good players, and replaced them with players who weren't nearly as good. Put a lot of faith into a couple of players who ended up proving couldn't handle that responsibility. COVID happened. The team went down to Orlando, didn't seem to care. Well, some of the players didn't seem to care about the result, and it's hard to blame them, to be honest, in hindsight. No one knew when they were going to get to see their families again. No one knew when they were going to get to go home again. There were much bigger issues going on than soccer. But DeBoer paid the price. And maybe the same was true of DeBoer. He didn't know when he was going to get to go home again. He didn't know when he was going to get to see his family. He may have, you know, mentally not been as focused as he needed to be. I don't know if that's true or not, but I wouldn't blame him. I mean, I think we were all experiencing that at the time. With regard to Pineda, as I pointed out earlier, in 9 games, the team has had its preferred starting lineup just 3 times because of injuries, international breaks, etc. It won 2 of those 3 games, 3-1 goal ratio. It's about to get most of those players back. It's creating lots of chances. They created more than 12, I think, last night. Just it's having a hard time right now putting the ball on the back of the net. So I wouldn't say give up yet. Chris says, this is a long one from Chris. Thank you for the thoughts you put into this. This felt like an especially petty yellow to Brooks tonight. He's talking about a yellow card Lennon got like in the 46th minute for picking up the ball after some confusion, and the referee, who had an awful night, did the center ref. Gave him a yellow card. The center referee awarded a goal kick on what was pretty clearly a corner kick. VAR didn't recommend him going to the monitor to look at the goal scored by Tyler Wolf when Yurgo Chalkamakis appeared to actually be onside in the buildup to that goal. But going back to Chris, he says, I'm sure it's been asked and answered, and I just missed it, but with Chicago Bears proposing a new stadium that happened earlier this week, would the Fire go with them, or would they renovate one of the most historic stadiums in sports to fit their needs? That's a tough one. I mean, I don't know what Chicago's lease is with Soldier Field, the Fire, but they've got to be losing a buttload of money every game because there was a decent crowd, 18,000, I think it was, or 16,000 there last night, but the stadium seats much, much more than that. It's a beautiful stadium. But the Fire, in their current iteration, aren't going to put enough people in that stadium. I don't know why the Bears want to build their own stadium. Northwestern is about to build a gigantic megaplex of a stadium. Seems like if Illinois state laws allow, they should go in together. And then the Fire could use that too. He continues, I know that Chicago doesn't have the most potent attack in the league. 11 goals was good for 18th entering the weekend, although 7 goals home is 12th. But it was encouraging to see the hodgepodge defense stick together and get a clean sheet. It was the team's 3rd clean sheet this season. It was also the 3rd time it's been shut out. Even if it took some help from the crossbar, it's hard to complain too much about a defensive clean sheet. Less encouraging was that one of the best opportunities created last night was for our 20-year-old center back debutante. It's concerning that we have one away goal and it took a player giving it all to the point of injury to get that one goal. That's a good point. The team is tied for last in the league in away goals with Austin and NYC. I know other teams are trying to win, but we haven't played a very good team on the road, acknowledging that Columbus was not full strength and we're not competing. Now, Columbus was competing. Chicago is the worst with a -3 goal differential at home. What's going on with this attack outside of MBS? You could ask that for going back to 2019. Injuries play. Every team suffers from injuries. And Dax McCarty, I think, said it best. Every team suffers from injuries, but when you can't roll out the same starting lineup, it affects cohesion, it affects chemistry, it just affects your ability to trust your teammates to have confidence in your teammates. It's not that they don't want to have confidence, but it's just a human, it's a natural reaction. I don't know what this player is going to do. I haven't played with him enough. Can I make this pass? And then when you have to stop and think, everything slows down and it just doesn't look as good. And I think you're starting to see that now. Yakamaki should be back to 90 minutes for next week's game against Minnesota. Still don't know about Silva yet. We did not see him on Thursday. I think he's probably out for a few more weeks. He, in the previous game, not the Chicago game, but the previous game, he had reached out to block a shot by DeAndre Yedlin and felt something in his adductor, so I think he's going to be out for a few more weeks. But Gregerson should be back next week. Derek Williams has started running. I don't think you'll see him next week, but maybe in 2 games you're going to see him, maybe U.S. Open Cup. Don't forget, we got U.S. Open Cup coming up in about 11 days or so. You should start to see things coming together again. Thanks for your tireless coverage, says Chris. Well, thank you, buddy. On to Chance, friend of the podcast, who says, hey, Doug, hope you're enjoying your coffee. It's hotel coffee, but it is good. I'm going to take a sip right now. He says, winning away is hard, but I really thought a few times the team had the 3 points. It's certainly frustrating seeing these recent results, but hopefully we get our full team healthy again here soon and get back to winning ways. My question this week is in Atlanta United related. All right. He says, I'm curious if you've been following the development of the Indianapolis MLS bid announcement amid the billion-dollar stadium project seemingly originally having been started for USL side Indy 11. If you have been following it, what are your thoughts on the mayor of Indy pursuing MLS opposed to the original plan with Indy 11? Many USL fans seem to find it unfair and possible intentional sabotage from MLS further weakening their closest competitor, but obviously Indiana getting its first MLS club would be a great win as well. If you get the chance to look at the development, I'd appreciate your take on the situation. Well, I have, and it's really bizarre to me, the reaction by the USL fans. They want to, okay, so these people love soccer, but they don't love soccer enough that they want an MLS team. They want to blame MLS when in fact it's going to be someone in Indianapolis who's footing the bill to get this team there. If they want to blame someone, blame the person who's saying, hey, I want an MLS team, who's not the mayor. The mayor is simply the mouthpiece for some ownership group that is yet to be named. Or if it's been named, then I missed it. I'm sorry. But, I mean, teams are businesses. And if one company sees another company performing well in a market, it's going to want to come into that market because it thinks that the ingredients are there. So it is a compliment to Indy 11 that some ownership group wants to start an MLS club in Indianapolis. I wouldn't blame Major League Soccer. It's the same thing that's happened in a few other places, but it's for the reasons I just stated. They are businesses. When one business sees another business doing well, it's going to want to come in and try to take some of that market share. If you want to blame someone, blame whoever the ownership group is. MLS would be silly to say, hey, we want however much money, let's say $500 million in expansion fees, to turn that down if there's an ownership group that has it and can pay it, and an ownership group that is willing to invest the resources to make a successful MLS franchises. There's four prongs to financial success in MLS. I've written about them many, many years ago. It's usual owning your own stadium or being able to keep the majority of the revenues from that stadium. That means not having to pay rent, getting parking, getting concessions, having naming rights on that stadium, having a kit sponsor, which is just still beyond me as to, anyway, the marketing strategies behind that. And the fourth is, oh, having an owner willing to invest. But anyway, those are my thoughts on that. I don't want to see Indy 11 fold, but at the same time, it doesn't make me mad that there might be an MLS team coming into that market. Coffee sip. Rex says, hope you're enjoying some great coffee Sunday morning as you read this. Thank you, Rex. I just finished watching the match and can't help but be struck by the contrast in cohesion between the first 4 to 5 weeks, which I think I've covered, and the last 2 to 3. We look like we have regressed in the attacking cohesion, especially as it relates to Almada with the rest of the midfield and crosses from wide players going to good spots with nobody there to receive them. What are your thoughts here? Injuries, of course, affect things, but the guys look like they don't know what their teammates are about to do. Why? Because they haven't got to play with them a whole lot. Yakamakis goes out. Tiari comes in. Tiari scores 3 goals in one game, another goal in another game. He gets hurt. Then a new guy who barely has practiced with the team comes in. He scores. But it takes consistency so that Brooks Lennon and Caleb Wiley know the run that Rios is going to make, and Rios can read what they're going to do and predict, okay, am I going to go back post or should I go front post or should I stay right where I am? Should I come back for a cutback? It just takes time. And nobody has had that consistent run with these guys yet. It's unlucky for Atlanta United, and you know you can work on it in training, but you can only work on it so much because it's a long, long season. Atlanta United will play 34 regular season games, at least one U.S. Open Cup game, at least 2 Leagues Cup games, should make the playoffs, So at least two playoff games. And if they do well in Leagues Cup, if they do well in U.S. Open Cup, pretty soon you've gone from 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, and to the mid-40s in games. You can't push these guys over and over again in training, or the injury situation could potentially get worse. For example, Caleb Wiley last night was cramping up in the game. He couldn't get forward anymore, that he was still trying. The Atlanta was out of subs. Rex continues, I'm also noticing that Almada is acting more and more like Messi. And while Messi is one of the GOATs, he plays with an arrogance and pace that I don't appreciate. But I'll admit that pace has to do with his age, likely. But Thiago used to play with some ferocity and edge. I'm worried Almada is picking up on Messi's style of play, and I'm curious to know your thoughts. Thanks for all your effort and coverage of the team. Now, the one thing that Almada has started to do that I don't understand is the I'm going to stand over the ball and wait thing. Barco used to do it. It used to drive me crazy because it gives the defense a chance to reset, to find who each player is going to mark, get in a good position, cut down angles. I don't know if Almada is just he wants to win the one-on-one battles. He's a competitor, but it doesn't make sense to me. He doesn't do it all the time. He's still a pass-and-move guy, but it seems like he's being a lot more deliberate in what he's doing. I don't know if the coaching staff is telling him to do that or what. But it may be, going back to my earlier point, if he just doesn't know the teammates around him very well yet. Sean, who I just saw down in the lobby of the hotel with his son, it's good to see them, says, Morales was the bright spot, but he had to at least score. Not a good game for Pineda. I don't know if anyone expected Morales to score in his first game. It was a good effort, though. And not a good game for Pineda. Not a bad game for Pineda. It was just a game. Greg says, very frustrating. Attacking left side is a mess. I thought Wolf had a poor night, and Mosquera didn't add much when he came on. I thought a lot of guys had bad nights. There were just poor touches all over the field. Balls needlessly knocked out of bounds. Unforced errors by a lot of players across the field. It's just a weird night. Greg says, we really need Silva to step up when healthy. It's going to be a bit. On a positive note, I continue to be incredibly impressed with Sleish. Yep, or Sleish. He played really well again last night. Such an upgrade over Sosa, Ibarra, Huzetu. Lastly, what is TRE's status? So we saw him on the field for a few minutes on Tuesday, and then he disappeared again. And I don't recall seeing him on Thursday. So I think he's at least a week out, maybe two. Adam with a long one says, since I don't yet consider Atlanta assured of winning any match, I'll look on the bright side and say a road draw isn't a bad result, especially since the opposing keeper earned his paycheck tonight. I like the Stripes' effort and recovery on defense. Tracking was sloppy, especially in the first half, but the overall hustle was good. I did not like Atlanta's final passes in their attacks. I won't disagree with you there. So passes in the final third, Atlanta made 152. Its accuracy was only 80.3. Chicago, 97 passes in the final third. Its accuracy was a woeful 55.7. He continues, I did not like Pineda wearing his sweater like a cape, but unsure if that affected the result. Man, anytime you can wear a cape, and it was windy last night, as they said on Seinfeld, good cape weather. So, you know, I like the look. On to Luke, who says, hey, Mr. Doug. Well, hello, Mr. Luke. I haven't been a Pineda out guy, but this team isn't playing up to its talent. What is a change you would make to help it do so, if not Pineda? Get the guys healthy and keep them healthy. And that's not me pointing the finger at anyone. That's just the unluckiness of injuries of all sorts of different types, some contact, some on grass, some on turf. But if they can get the same lineup out there and going, I think, as you heard McCarty say, as you heard Pineda said, this team, I think, can be among the best in Major League Soccer. But they got to get those guys on the field and playing together for more than like one or two games at a time. Because, you know, as Pineda said, it's not like they're not creating chances. As Bocanegra said, and I wrote earlier this week, they're not getting rolled over. They're creating lots of chances. They just got to put them in the net. It's when they stop creating those chances is when you probably need to start worrying. I want to remind you to please tell your friends about our show. Please give us a rating and a review on Spotify and Apple. It's what helps us grow the podcast. I want to remind you, please consider subscribing. AJC.com/BSP makes a great Mother's Day gift. Lots of stuff. Mom can look through the newspaper and find out stuff that she wants to do for the weekend. Take you and your siblings, or if you're the husband, take her out. Go have some fun. Great recipes, great local news. My mom already has a subscription, or I would get her one. All right, I want to remind y'all, as always, hug your loved ones. Communicate with your loved ones. If you have a friend across the country you haven't heard from, reach out to them. Just say hello. Try to be empathetic, especially to those who are less fortunate than you. Try to be aware of what they may be going through. Maybe think back to a time where if something had gone wrong for you, you might not be in the position you're in now. Thanks for listening to Southern Fried Soccer from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Y'all take care.
Ocean breeze, tropical beach, piña colada. You can buy an air freshener to make your car smell like you're in an oceanside paradise. Or, better yet, you can point your car toward Daytona Beach and come experience the real thing. Visit DaytonaBeach.com to discover all there is to see, do, and enjoy along the world's most famous beach, Daytona Beach, Florida. Beach on.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.